Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13. Amen.
All right, good to see each of you in the house of God. I mentioned some that are snowed in, still got ice and stuff in their driveway that they can't get out, especially these lower cars having trouble in this stuff. And so pray for them. And then some folks that are still not feeling well and that are out because of that. And then Brother Paulman is in Kansas today and headed on out west. So pray for him and his travels, that God would bless and use that as well. By the way, tomorrow is the Preacher's Fellowship, and this time it's at Sturgis Baptist Church tomorrow morning. And so I want to mention that to you, be praying about it. And the Lord willing, we'll be trying to go and be in that fellowship. Pray that God would bless and help there. I mentioned, I think Wednesday night, that Brother Thrower called me, I think it was Wednesday, asked me if I would preach their missions conference in March. And so pray for us that. That'll be a Sunday night through Tuesday night. So I'll not miss anything but a Sunday night service. But I'm surprised and excited that he would call and ask me to come preach for him. So pray that everything will go well there. All right. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 34. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34. Just two verses that I'm going to read initially, then we'll look at some more as we go along. But these two verses in particular. All right. Verse number 34, we'll read it responsibly. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I want to stop there with that. I want to focus on that phrase, from the foundation of the world. And I want to preach on before there was a world. That's what I want to preach on today. Let's pray, ask God to help us in the service today. Brother Philip, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father,
amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I said, I'm looking at that phrase in verse number 35, these things that have been kept secret, he said, from the foundation of the world. Now, Matthew 13 is famous for the seven parables that our Lord spoke in this one chapter. It's sermons of our Lord that are given in parabolic form, and there's much that can be gleaned and learned from these parables, and they've been preached multiple times. Let me say this, you know it, but parables are picture stories. Our Lord uses an example, for example, of a farmer to describe the kingdom of heaven, and that's what he's dealing with in this text, in these verses. They're picture stories. They are mysterious. They are symbolical. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him why he used this type of teaching. Look back at verse number 10 of Matthew 13. Verse number 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. And therefore speak out of them in parables, because they, seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias the prophet, or Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So they ask him, why do you use these parables to teach? Jesus said that these parables are mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 11. That's the phrase that he uses. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now let me just say right off the bat, Jesus is not saying in this verse that God blinded these people's minds, hearts, and ears, and eyes. Matter of fact, he said they did it. Right, they did it. Verse number 15, matter of fact, look at it, you can see it. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, who closed them? They did. Now these men, it's given unto them to hear. How come it's given unto them to hear? Because Jesus said, follow me. What did they do? They didn't close their ears or close their eyes. They followed him. And so it's given unto them to know the mysteries. Here's these people. They want to hear some new thing, but they never really grasp what's being said because their mind's made up. Because their ears are shut, their eyes are shut. They've already, they've got it in their heart what they're going to do and how it's going to be their way. And so therefore Christ can't help them. That's really what he's saying here. All right. But he says, I'm primarily verse 11. He says that these parables are mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then again in verse 35 that we read as our original text, he says about these, by the way, he's quoting the psalmist. He said, spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So this verse and these verses tell us that there are some things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. These are things that are hidden. They're a mystery from before the world was ever formed. Amen. This mystery spoken of in other portions of scripture. Romans chapter number 16 verse 25 talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 7 through 10 deals with it. Colossians 1, 25 through 27 deals with it. I'll just throw those out if you wanted to look those up later. Dealing with the mystery. And there's other verses as well. But all of these verses that come together reveal to us that there are facts that have been hidden from men since the world began. Since before the world began. We'd say since eternity past, if you can count it that way. These hidden mysteries, he said, have been revealed to the saints. They're revealed to us in the scriptures and they're revealed to us by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Holy Scripture. Somebody says, well, the Holy Ghost told me this. If it contradicts Scripture, you can forget it. Amen. So we're revealed. These mysteries are revealed from God, by God, through His scriptures and through His Spirit. We might say the Holy Ghost. He reveals these secrets unto us. God says that we can know these mysteries and we can be blessed by them. I want to share with you four, and these are simple things and they're connected. I want to look at four great mysteries that were put in place before the world was ever made. And this great mystery, that it is a great mystery to the lost, but it's a great blessing to the saved. Amen. I'm going to preach today a topical sermon. I don't do that a lot, but I'm going to preach a topical sermon on this thought before there was a world. I said I've got 4 points. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'll give you my first point. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Amen. First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at this verse. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Now, I read all those verses because they're one sentence. Matter of fact, verse 17 is still part of that same sentence. But I jumped in at verse 18, the very familiar verses that are used when we give God glory for the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, we think about the precious blood of Christ that purchased our salvation. But I want us to notice that phrase that is found there, that Christ was foreordained, verse 20, before the foundation of the world. What's he talking about? He was a lamb. That's what he called him in verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So that lamb was foreordained. He's not saying your salvation was. He said that lamb was. And by the way, nobody will ever get saved except through that lamb. Right. That lamb was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So here's what I think. This is my first point. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Before there was a world. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. And I've got verses that I won't have you to turn to. I'll have you look at these main ones that I'm dealing with. You know that when right after Adam and Eve sinned, God spoke to the serpent. God made a promise to the serpent. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "I will put enmity between thee and thy seed, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Now here's what I want you to notice. That was not some spur of the moment decision that God made. Amen. Satan tricked Adam and Eve, but he didn't trick God. Amen. God didn't have to come up with some all of a sudden decision. What am I going to do? No, before there ever was a sinner, there was a Savior. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. That thread runs through all your Bible about Christ being the Lamb of God. All through the Bible, and I could go many, and we know many. I don't even, if I start touching on them, I'll get sidetracked in that. John said, John the Baptist, in John chapter number 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. So God promised that there would be a son. Somebody said it this way. God spoke that there would be a lamb, and then John saw the lamb. Amen. John saw and proclaimed the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then all the way in the end of your Bible, in the tribulation period, that's what it's known as, the great tribulation period, there's going to be a beast rising up from the earth. If you want to turn, look at Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, I said this beast will be rising up from the earth. He's rising up from the sea, from the midst of the sea. Revelation chapter 13, let's see here. Let me look at a few of these verses. I really got one I'm mainly going to zero in on. But look at verse number 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast." That doesn't mean an animal. It means a living creature that he didn't know how to describe it. "Rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That does sound like a monster, doesn't it? "Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." And he goes on to describe that beast a little bit. But as he talks about that beast is going to utter terrible and blasphemous things. And he's going to demand that all the world bow down and worship him. Look at verse number 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." There's our phrase again. What I'm saying, when you come down to the end, the only hope you've got is that God don't wait till the last minute to make a plan. God had a plan before there ever was a world. Amen. Before there ever was a world, before there ever was a sinner, God had the Savior. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God didn't have to go scrambling for a plan when Adam and Eve fell in the sin. Didn't take God by surprise. When the man of sin comes forth and the beast and the false prophet and all that's going on in that time, when all that takes place, it won't take God by surprise. God had a plan before the foundation of the world. Number two, go to 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, I believe. Yeah, verse number 8. Amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What's he talking about? He's talking about grace that was in Christ Jesus. It was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. Hallelujah. So before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Number two, before there was guilt, there was grace. He said that grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, again, Paul is not declaring that we've been saved since before the world began. But he's saying that Jesus was the Savior ready. That's the only way anybody's ever going to get saved, is through the Savior that God set aside before the world ever began. That's what he's talking about. God had Christ, can I say it this way, ready and able to save before the world ever began. So before there was guilt, there was grace. Amen. Amen. Jesus is ready. That famous verse, or really the famous chapter, Isaiah 53. Boy, that's a wonderful chapter, by the way. That it declares we've all sinned, but it says God had a plan all along. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Now, who's us all? Well, I believe you could say all us who believe. Right? I know how the Jews looked at it. They didn't count any Gentiles, just all us Jews. Right? And I know how that some religions say that's not all of everybody, that's just us elect. So there's some that says that's not all the people, that's just us white folks. It's all prejudicial. That's not what God said. God said he laid on him the iniquity of who? Us all. We could say it this way, all of us. Amen. Jesus tasted death for who? The whole world. Whosoever will may come. There's nobody shut out of that. Amen. There's nobody shut out of that. The point is, before the world ever began, God set forth his Son and said, this is how salvation's coming, through the Son. And it was given us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was guilt, there was grace. Number three, I want you to turn, if you will, to Titus. We're in 2 Timothy, just be a page or two over, probably one page. Titus chapter 2 and verse, chapter 1 and verse 2. Just the one verse, even though it doesn't complete the sentence. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So there was a promise before the world began. There was a Savior, there was grace, and there was a promise.
Amen.
Amen. If I could say it this way, before there was a punishment of death, there was a promise of life.
Amen.
Amen. Before there was a punishment of death, there was a promise of life. Amen. Again, he's saying that Jesus, our Savior, was ready and able to save even before the world began. Amen. Amen. Now, with all this talk about a Savior for sinners and grace for guilt and a promise of life for those that have the punishment of death or should have the punishment of death, you might say, well, how do I get this? This was all given before the world ever began. How do I get this? By the way, let me stop and say this. If God hadn't had Christ ready before there ever was a sinner, then there would have been some sinners that could have said, God didn't have a Savior ready for me. But since the Savior was set aside before there ever was a sinner, no sinner will point their finger in God's face and say, you didn't give me an opportunity. No sinner. God, before the foundation of the world ever was laid, God set aside His Son to be the Savior. But you think about it, how do we obtain, how can a person obtain this salvation, this grace, this eternal life that we're talking about? Well, here, I think a simple answer. These would be sub-points under this. The answer is come to Christ, call on Christ, and confess Christ.
Amen.
I really believe it's that simple.
Amen.
Come to Christ, call on Christ, and confess Christ. And I've got verses for that. Again, you don't have to turn. I'll get to my last point in a moment. John chapter 6, verse 37, these are the words of our Lord Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
You say, well, how do I know I'm one of the elect that God gave to the Son that I could come to him? Well, then come to him and find out.
Amen.
He said, if you'll come to him, he won't cast you out.
Amen.
That's what he said. I like the way Mr. Spurgeon would say it. He talked about people being worried. Am I one of the elect? He said, quit worrying about that. He said, if you're a sinner and you'll repent and turn to Christ, you can be saved.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, when you get saved, you'll find out that it was predestined before the foundation of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that, by the way, it's right. But it's not me that's predestined, it's Christ. But all those in Christ. Amen. And I could go on a lot of things about it. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Revelation chapter 22, that last invitation is given in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So the first thing to do is come to Christ. Second thing to do is call on Christ. And I don't know that we say one, two, three, but you understand what I'm saying. These are things that we do. We come to Christ. We call on Christ. Romans 10:13, that most famous verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever professes. A lot of people make a profession, but they ain't got the possession. Right. Whosoever shall call. What does that mean? That means you call out to Christ. You cry out to Christ. You trust Christ. That's the idea.
Amen.
Come to Christ. Call on Christ. And thirdly, confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Again, very well known. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Jesus said in that parable, in his statement about the parables in Matthew 13, he said their hearts, they have hardened against God. Therefore, their eyes, they have shut. Their ears, they have stopped up. And in seeing, they can't see. Hearing, they can't hear. And they'll never believe the gospel because they've shut up their heart. But if you'll open your heart, you'll be amazed at what you'll hear. You'll be amazed at what you'll say. You'll be amazed at what you can believe. When you open your heart to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, I've said before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was guilt, there was grace. Before there was the punishment of death, there was the promise of life. And let me say last of all, before there was a hell, there was a heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. famous verses used in the predestination and election camp, and their Bible verses. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen and amen. Here's what this text tells us. Those of us that have come to Jesus, called on Jesus, and confessed Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior have spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Amen.
We ain't there yet, but we're there already. Yeah. Amen. Travis Altump sings that song, just waiting for my body to be.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm already there. And it's on that verse, by the way, already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. In the book of Ephesians. But the idea here is that we've been blessed with these spiritual blessings. We who once were headed to hell.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Have an inheritance in heaven.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. Amen. Because of Jesus. Amen. Let me point out that this text does not say that God chose some to go to heaven and chose others to go to hell. God made the choice before the foundation of the world that those who would be in Christ Jesus
Amen.
Would be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's not saying that God made that choice of who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved before the foundation of the world, and we had no choice in it. Right?
Amen.
And now just be honest with you. If you believed that, if you believed that God made the choice, a man don't make the choice, then if your loved one dies and go to hell, don't blame them, blame God.
Amen. Right.
You can't blame God.
Amen.
God's not to blame.
Amen.
God's not to blame. Amen. Here's what he is saying. He's saying that the only reason any of us can go to heaven is because our hope is in him who is in heaven. Our faith is in him who is in heaven. God's chosen lamb, chosen before the foundation of the world. Our faith is in him. That's what we're saying. Amen. And he has made us accepted in the beloved. And by the way, that don't mean this. It don't mean like for example, you use an illustration. Let's say you invite somebody into your home and partake of a meal with you, and they become almost as if they're part of the family. That's accepted in the beloved. Wouldn't you say that's right? But this is not talking about being accepted into the family. This is talking about Jesus is the beloved, and the only way we're accepted is to be in him. And he made it possible that we could get in him. How is that? We come to him, we call on him, and we confess him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, the blessing I'm trying to point out here is that God prepared heaven before he ever made hell. God prepared heaven for a prepared people before he ever made hell, which was not prepared for man, but was prepared for the devil and his angels. And I've got authority on that. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Words of our Lord. If you had a red letter edition, I don't have a red letter Bible. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I do believe that man that decided which letters would be red and which letters would be black were not infallible. And so, you know, you got to always recognize that. But these are words of our Lord, right? Verse number in Matthew chapter number 25, Jesus is talking about people that's going to be cast out. In verse number 41, then shall he, talking about the judge, the king, say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for those of you that were elected to go to hell. That's not what it says, is it? Wasn't prepared for men. What was it prepared for? The devil and his angels. But if men won't believe the gospel, if they'll believe the devil, then they've joined up with him. That's what he's saying. That's why we're at enmity with God. By the way, you're not just straddling the fence. You're on one side or the other. You're for God or you're for the devil. You're going where God's going or you're going where the devil's going. Cut and dried. No in between. That's exactly, that's how it is. But thank God those that are in the devil's camp can be saved by the grace of God. Because Jesus has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus has the ability to conquer the devil and bring captive those that have been held captive. Amen. He's able to set them at liberty that come to God by him. Amen. Amen. But I'm saying lost sinners do go to hell when they die, though God didn't prepare it for that purpose. But before there ever was a hell, God prepared a heaven. Amen. Jesus made some promises. I'll have you turn and look at these. In John chapter number 14, very familiar, read at a lot of funerals. Great text. John 14 verses 1 through 3. We'll read those. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20. But John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What's he talking about? It's about heaven. There were already mansions there before Jesus ever came. But Jesus went to prepare a place for us. All right, go to Revelation chapter 20. And I'll say it this way. Jesus promised a blissful heaven for the saved. But he also promised a blistering hell for the lost. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the end of the chapter. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. I wish there wasn't even a place called hell. There's been a stir, you know, in the religious world. Some famous people have started asking questions. They ain't new. They've been asking these questions. Matter of fact, I think you can trace it all the way back to the serpent. Yea, hath God said? Is there really a punishment for sin? Is there really a place where rebels go? Is there really a place that those that reject Christ will go? I wish there wasn't a hell, but there is. But I'm glad that before there ever was a world, before there ever was a hell, there was a heaven. Before there ever was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there ever was guilt, there was grace. Before there ever was a punishment of death, there's the promise of life. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Well, ask you, which is it going to be for you? I know we all make a plan. Well, I plan to go to heaven one day. Yeah, and we plan to live to be 100. Yeah, plans of men sometimes go awry. You better do more than plan. You better make provision. You better put your trust in Christ. You better come to him. Call on him. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Father, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in the house of God today. I try to preach this word of grace. This word, I hope, of encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray you'd draw sinners and you'd help saints to rejoice. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.